In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Isaiah 'twas foretold it. The Savior of all mankind would be himself a man, a shoot from Jesse's stump. And the house of Jesse had truly become a stump. The kingdom of Israel, ruled by Jesse's son David and the sons after that, had split. And then the subsequent divided kingdoms of Israel and Judah had fallen to pagan nations. What honor, what prestige was left for the house of Jesse? It was all in the past. Joseph, who was of the house and lineage of David, didn't receive any kind of special treatment for his heritage. But from that stump would come forth a shoot, foretold Isaiah. New honor, new glory, new life. And this new king would not simply be a son of David, continuing that line that had fallen, but rather he would come from Jesse's stump, a new David, of whose kingdom there would be no end. He would be not only the king of the Jews, the king of Israel, this shoot would be king of kings, Lord of lords, king of all creation. And Isaiah also foretold that this man coming from Jesse's lineage would receive from God the Father his Holy Spirit without limits, without measure. He would rightly be called the Messiah, the Christ, which means in Hebrew and Greek respectively, anointed one. Upon him, upon his human nature, would rest the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now it is true that God gives his Holy Spirit to his people, both in the past and today, but the Holy Spirit works in the saints only in created gifts, so that they can know and do only some things. Not so with the Christ. The entire fullness of the Holy Spirit rests upon him. As man, Christ has received all knowledge and power in deed and in truth. All the treasures of wisdom are hidden in him. All power has been given to him. This is because the Savior of all mankind, the man anointed with the Holy Spirit, is not simply man, but also God, the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Because in him God and man are united together inseparably in one person, the Spirit is and remains Christ for all eternity. Because he is divine and human, the sevenfold Spirit shows himself in, with, and through this man, this shoot, sprung forth from the stump of Jesse. Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Yahweh, the same Spirit that was present at creation, who hovered over the face of the waters, the same Spirit who is himself the Lord and giver of life. The Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, who searches everything, even the depths of God. He imparts true discernment concerning all things, rightly dividing between good and evil, right and wrong. The Spirit is the Spirit of counsel and might. And so Isaiah also foretold what we heard last week, that the Christ, the child born to us, the Son given to us, would be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. By his wonderful and divine counsel and might, the Christ would rule and reign perfectly. The Spirit is the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. By him are revealed all mysteries of God, and through him one is rightly ordered by God and toward God, in adoration, in reverence, rightly worshiping God in pious fear. This is the sevenfold Spirit who would rest upon Christ, the true God and true man. Isaiah foretold it. And as Jesus preached in the synagogue in Nazareth centuries later, the scripture written by Isaiah was fulfilled in him. Jesus of Nazareth is Christ the Lord. According to his eternal divine nature, he is of one substance or essence with the Holy Spirit and the Father. But according to his received human nature, the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And Isaiah also foretold, this is all for our sake, for our good. Having the Holy Spirit upon him, the Christ would judge and decide, not with bias or favoritism, but with righteousness and equity. He would execute justice on the earth. He would truly bring peace on earth and salvation to all nations. As Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 11 would continue, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. The Spirit of the Lord rests upon the Messiah, the Christ, and he exercises that Spirit-filled power and authority for our good, for the good of the entire creation. It is fulfilled in him. But note what Jesus says about this fulfillment. He tells us, as he tells the Nazarenes, exactly how the scripture is fulfilled. He says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. For the preaching of the gospel is Christ's characteristic work. It is through his word that righteousness, faithfulness, justice, and peace are delivered. And they are received when one hears the word of God in faith. So, quoting a later prophecy from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Again and again and again, Christ the Lord says that he is anointed to proclaim. And the scripture is fulfilled in the hearing of that proclamation. The proclamation of good news to the poor, that in Christ those who are poor in spirit find true, lasting, heavenly riches that will not fade away. In the proclamation of liberty to the captives, that those who are fast bound in Satan's chains have been set free by Christ, who came to bruise the serpent's head. In his proclamation of the recovery of sight to the blind, that those who walked in darkness and in the shadow of death are given light and life by Christ. In his proclamation of the year of the Lord's favor, that for Christ's sake all debts are paid, all trespasses forgiven. It is through hearing the proclamation, the word of Christ alone, that those who are oppressed are set at liberty, free from sin, free from death, free from the power of the devil. If you are to receive the work of the Messiah, if you are to be blessed by the ministry of the Christ, the one anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power, you must confess yourself to be one of those poor, captive, blind, and oppressed people. You must acknowledge the depth of your own spiritual poverty, that practicing sin enslaves you to sin, that sin, namely hatred, leaves you in darkness, blinding your eyes, that you are oppressed by your enemy, the devil, who is a liar and murderer from the beginning. In short, you must confess yourself to be a poor, miserable sinner. For Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Not all are willing to do this. The people of Nazareth in the synagogue that day weren't. They marveled at the gracious words that were coming from Jesus' mouth. They spoke well of him as he preached. But would they confess themselves to be the poor who needed good news, the captives who needed liberty, the blind who needed him to restore their sight? No, they would not. Instead, as Jesus preached, they began to question Jesus' messiahship. They began to wonder where he, this man, got such wisdom, how he, this man, was able to do so many mighty works. They knew this man. They were very familiar with his background. He was from Nazareth. He was the son of Joseph, the carpenter. They knew Mary, his mother. They knew his brothers and sisters as well. How did this man get all these things? And if in fact, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Christ, then he should prove it, they figured. He should prove it by doing the miracles here in Nazareth that he had been doing in Capernaum. Now remember that the Nazarenes who rejected Jesus were not crass pagans. They weren't blatant unbelievers. They were a church-going people, so to speak. They were there at the synagogue to worship. But in self-righteousness, they rejected the Spirit-filled proclamation of Christ. They took offense at Jesus. They took offense at his word. Jesus preached to them salvation as he still preaches today. But then and now, whoever does not receive the gospel in repentance and faith, even if they be outwardly righteous, will be condemned. And for them, the only word that remains is the word of judgment, the word of condemnation, the word of the law leading unto death. And so stubborn were these Nazarenes in their refusal to repent and believe the gospel that they even sought to put Jesus the Christ to death. Again, his words were admirable. They were even marvelous to them until they grasped the implication of those words, that they themselves were the lost, they themselves were the poor, the blind, the captives, and only this Jesus of Nazareth, only he was the one anointed to save them. That was intolerable for them. And the pride of their old sinful hearts rebelled against that word. They may not have been able to cast Jesus over the cliff that day, but they did cast him out of their hearts in unbelief. Now later on, the apostles Paul and Barnabas would preach to the Jews, and they would say, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside to judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. This proved true with the Nazarenes. And this warning stands before us today as well. Today, the scriptures are being proclaimed for you to hear. Today, Jesus the Christ, upon whom the Spirit of the Lord rests, he is proclaiming good news, liberty, sight, and the year of the Lord's favor. Today, the Messiah still comes, and he comes to you in his gospel. Today, he still proclaims salvation for you. How will you receive it? Will you receive it in humble repentance for your sins? Will you receive it in faith, trusting in Christ alone for deliverance? Or will you reject it in pride and self-righteousness? You've come to this place of worship tonight, just like the Nazarenes went to the synagogue long ago. Will you follow their example? Will you reject the word of Jesus just as they did? Must the gospel leave this place and go to those who will receive with joy? God forbid that the gospel ever leave this place. On Christmas Day, a week from today, in fact, we will hear from John chapter 1 that he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The Nazarenes did not receive Jesus. They did not receive his preaching in the synagogue that day. And sadly, there are still many who do not receive Jesus. or his preaching, and not just the unbelieving pagan or materialistic world, but those who sit in churches like this one all around the world, who reject the Christ in self-righteousness and pride and unbelief. But, John continues, to all who did receive him, to all who did believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. To those who receive him in faith, he gives the right to become children of God. And therefore, you who have been given that right, you who have been declared God's children, you who are his people, receive him tonight. Hear his proclamation. Believe him as he comes to you now in his word. Repent of your sins and trust in him alone for salvation. For he who is rich for your sake became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Through death he has destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and set and delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. God says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the year of the Lord's favor. Isaiah 'twas foretold all this. He foretold that the virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. He foretold that the people who walked in darkness would see a great light. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He foretold that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him. And all that Isaiah foretold, his prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus in his conception, in his birth, in his ministry. But Isaiah foretold still more about the Christ. He also would foretell that this Christ would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Isaiah foretold that he would bear the chastisement that brings us peace. He foretold that with his wounds we would be healed. These scriptures have also been fulfilled by Jesus in his holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death on the cross for you, for your salvation. And then, just as it was promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, Jesus, descended from David according to the flesh, that shoot from the stump of Jesse, would be declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. This too Christ has fulfilled. Having ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, is and remains forevermore our brother according to the flesh, true God and true man. And as this one person in two natures, divine and human, Jesus the Christ is still carrying out the task for which he was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He is still proclaiming good news to the poor. He is still proclaiming liberty to the captives. He is still proclaiming the recovery of sight to the blind. He is still proclaiming the liberty to those who are oppressed. He is still proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. And this word that he proclaims is powerful to accomplish all that he wills. So listen to him. Hear his word. Receive this proclamation in repentance and faith. Let these scriptures be fulfilled in your hearing. Isaiah it was foretold it, and Jesus it was who fulfilled it. In his name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.